Triple M Good Times and Greatest Hits. It's great to have you with us. It's Cliff here. And I'm just talking to Marsha Hines off air before we come on air. I'm old enough, I've seen enough summers to remember when Fire and Rain first came out. I just don't know what to do with myself when it first came out. The hit You, which was huge. I remember playing that when it first came out. So it's so nice to be able to talk to this lady. And she is on tour once again, 2024, still shining, the anniversary tour. And she's going to be in Bunbury on Friday, the 9th of August. We're the second one on the tour. And as the album says, ladies and gentlemen, Marsha Hines.
Well, hey, how are you doing?
I'm well, I'm well. Thank you for your time. And moreover, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. I'm really well. Life is sweet. You know, life continues, which is a nice thing, you know. And I adore what I do for a living, so it does help that I continue to do it.
But my goodness, going on tour, and you've got a lot of dates on this anniversary tour as well. It ain't easy. How have you prepared yourself for it? Or have you been doing this long enough, Marsha, that you know, right, that goes there, I've got to do that, done.
A bit of all of that, you know, like I've got a really good group of people that I work with, first and foremost, because I couldn't do this by myself, you know, and you've got to really always give props to the people that you work with, you know, and without them, I couldn't be the performer that I am. And it's a family thing, as you'd be aware, you know, like we all live, eat and breathe together, you know, and then at the end of the day, if we're good people, we get to make music.
What is the end of the tour like? Do you have a kind of a grieving process there? Because you are with those people 24/7, you do get tight, and then suddenly it's done, and it's never going to happen like that again, is it?
No, so you make another one. you create another tour. You know, look, the truth of the matter is nothing lasts forever, and that's just the way it is. So we just live every day and appreciate every day and every performance that we get to do for the general public. And it's still a buzz. It's just still a buzz to stand on stage and sing a lot of the songs that you've just mentioned, you know, and sometimes, you know, because I look in the audience and people are crying, you know, and I'm saying to myself, oh, gee, I hope I'm not singing that bad that they're crying, you know, but they're actually quite moved, you know, because songs become the tapestry of your life, as you'd be aware, because you've been playing them forever.
Indeed, you know, yes.
Yeah, they become the tapestry of your life and memories, good memories, you know, births, deaths, marriages, and love affairs. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. Yeah,
yeah you did.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
we're not going there, though.
I know
the history. Are you happy now at the age of 70? You're on the TV now. You're going back on a tour again. There's a lot of stuff. And as I say, Marsha, I've seen a good few summers as well. I'm 66 this year. And you kind of get to the point where you go, that, and that, I just don't care anymore. And let stuff go.
It's so true, because in your teens, all you care about is the people, you just got to be popular. You just got to be, you know, and then you get in your 30s and your 20s, and you think, and then you get in your 30s and go, and then 40, you think, you know, I really never liked you in the beginning, so I'm not gonna waste my time with you now. See, you grow up, you know. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about life. You grow up and you learn about people, you learn about yourself. And you know, I was brought up really well. I had an incredible mother, and she'd say, Marsha, you can't like everybody, and everybody can't like you.
Yeah.
That's a really good life lesson, man.
Do you know, when I turned 50, I had no intention of getting all introspective, but I came up with something, and I don't know if I actually came up with it or if I stole it from somewhere else. More and more, I care less and less about more and more.
That's well said. I've never heard that one.
Well, maybe
I might steal that one from you. That's good.
Maybe more I did make that up.
Less and less about more and more. Yeah, that's really cool. You know, but I mean, like I said, you know, you reflect on your life, you know, and I'm quite aware of the life I've lived and the life I'm living. It's quite astounding. You know, I don't take any of this stuff for granted, you know, and to be 70 and still be relevant and still be making the music and being on stage with incredible people doing Grease, you know, and then doing Australian Idol. I'm stoked because I'm doing what I love, it, so which makes it so much easier when you're buggered, you know, when you're really tired and you don't want to know, but you know, you want to know, because you have to be a professional in this business. You have to be.
How would you like to be starting now, like the people you're seeing on Idol?
Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know. Because, you know, like, okay, so I'm good at talking to you now. It's funny because my manager, I've had the same manager for my whole career, Peter Ricks, and he and I were talking about 2 days ago, and he was saying he's really enjoying the performances on Idol, and he's enjoying how I can just talk, you know, that I can talk. He said, far from the days when I take you to a country town and write things down on the speaker so you could say what you needed. Just, I was so shy, man. I was so shy, Cliff. And I think, you know, you grow to know the person that you are. And I was a very shy kid. It's the weirdest thing. And I sit on the stage with Idol and I talk to the kids. And the reason the person that you're seeing can speak the way I do speak is because people were really good to me back in the day. You know, like Trevor White, John English, JPY. I had, of course, Trevor White was the guy that played Jesus.
Yep.
And he was such a good guy. And then we had John Waters. I had John Waters and people like Reg Livermore in Hair. And they kind of brought me up. You know, I was the youngest person to ever do Hair, you know, the musical. So, you know, and they were, I must have been a pain in the proverbial. I must have been. But they were very kind to me, you know. And so I think, you know, there's something to be said about kindness. I think it's so much easier to be kind than it is to be nasty. If you're nasty, you got to really think about it and how you're going to hurt somebody. And I see no need in that. None.
16. I love this story. At 16, you said, hey, can I go to Woodstock and your grand? No. I think the term you used was hell no. But you went to Woodstock anyway, just like every other teenager who goes, oh no, I won't go and see that film or whatever. And yes, you just go and
only reason being, the truth of the matter was, I actually asked Ma and I said, Ma, can I go? She went, hell no. Anyway, so I was a babysitter on our street. And there was a lady that I used to babysit, her daughter, Honoree, and she wanted to go up to see the concert too. So she went and spoke to my mother and said, could Marsha, you know, babysit Honoree? And so she's an adult and I'm taking care of a kid and I'm a teenager. And so my mother said, yeah, sure, you're responsible. So we get there, Cliff, and it's pretty full on. We get there and they stay with me for about a day, maybe 18 hours, and the little girl, Honoree, didn't like it, and the mother said, oh, we're going back to Boston. I said, okay, bye.
See ya.
Yeah, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. And I just stayed at Woodstock. And, you know, it's so fascinating to think that something as big as that, there were no molestations, there were no bad behavior. Everybody just went to listen to good music, you know. The only kind of sus thing that happened was, you know, every once in a while they come on the mic and say, oh, such and such from Cleveland has taken a bad LSD trip, can his friends come and get him, you know. So
what is that? That looks like oregano, but I don't
think
right. It is.
No. And, yeah, it was.
And when you think about the people who were on that set, I mean, you know, Woodstock pretty much made Joe Cocker, and you had so many other people.
Yes.
What is your enduring memory of Woodstock? Because, you know, when you look at the history, it rained, it was wet, it was a bit of a
nightmare. It was a lot of bad things, but, you know, it just, the most important thing was the music. You know, we didn't go for the weather, but if the weather had been nice, it would have been great. And everybody took care of everybody, and they fed us. But I remember I was getting ready to sort of rest, and I heard someone say, hey, get on up and dance to the music. And it was Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah.
They tore it up. And, you know, I saw so many. I mean, Arlo Guthrie was beautiful, Country Joe and the Fish. And, of course, I waited to see Jimmy. But he was late. Jimmy Hendrix, I couldn't have left Woodstock without seeing Jimmy. But everybody was just so cool, you know. And Joe, he was brand new to America. And he tore it up, too. He was wonderful. What a wonderful performer.
Amazing. Yeah. And what was it at 16 that said, yeah, I'm just going to go to another country here at 16 and I'm going to star in this production of Hair and then I'm going to start my career.
Nothing. Okay. Are you serious? 16? No. So you really want to hear the story of what happened?
Go.
Okay. So I grew up in Boston.
Yep.
And I had a really good friend and who I'm close to. Her name is Linda. I'm still close to her. And her name is Linda Gaines. So she had a bigger sister, and her big sister went to Germany and did a play called Porgy and Bess. And then when we were growing up, Linda and I, her sister was older than us, so we'd always go in her room and look at her stuff. She hated us. Hated us with a passion. Anyway, so she went to Germany and became Donna Summer.
Donna Summer, yeah.
And then my girlfriend, Linda, auditioned to do hair in Boston. And we'd always sung around with each other. You know, everybody, all the musical kids used to hang out. And so Linda said, oh, look, I've just auditioned for hair. Come and do it. I went, nah. I'm going to be stuck in Boston. I'll go to L.A., I'll go to Washington or San Fran or something, but I really don't want to be stuck in Boston, you know? Mm. And so, lo and behold, a friend of mine was like a Shakespearean, a really talented actor, and he went up for the audition for Hair. And they said, listen, you're really good, but you're just too good. He said, well, I know. They said, we're looking for Ruff Diamonds. He said, I know just the girl, but she's underage. I'll go speak to her mother. And he spoke to my mom about it. And my mother presented me with the idea. And I said, yeah, I think I could do that. Mm. And she said, okay, well, and then she took me to my audition, in which my friend Linda and her friends were standing behind a curtain trying to make me crack up, you know. So, you know, friends. But anyway, so I did the audition for Jim Sharman and Sandra McKenzie. And about maybe 12 days later, I was on a plane to Austria. Did I say that? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, I say Austria because I had no idea where Australia was.
Oh, what? I see. I got you. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I had no idea. So, but you know, the thing is, I had a very, like I said earlier, a really cool mother. I was a musician since I was about 4 or 5, and she knew that this is what I wanted to do, and she said, "You know what's right. You know what's wrong." And it was only a 6-month contract, but I've been here for over 50 years. So,
and thank heavens for that too. And then the controversy, and people may not remember this, they might not even know, there was such controversy when this young black woman was playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, which was very controversial in and of itself as well.
Just in itself, yeah.
Times change, don't they? And thank heavens for that.
Yeah, but Harry Miller being the, you know, the commercial genius that he was, you know, and Harry M. Miller was my guardian until I turned 21. So, and I remember because I'd been doing the play Hair, and I went and saw Superstar, and I just so loved it. And I said to Harry, can I just do, you know, backing vocals in the show? And he said, no, because you're still one of the only semi-originals for the show Hair. Mm. And I think we're in Tasmania. Lo and behold, the war finished, and Harry was true to his word and said, look, because the war's over, the show is no longer relevant because of the Vietnam War. So, and then he called me up and said, would you like to play Mary Magda? And I said, let me think. Yes.
Okay. I'll check my schedule. Yes.
Yeah. And I said, yes. And you know, I got the gig. And look, I had no idea that what has happened to me was going to happen. You know, as a performer, you work gig by gig by gig. And then, you know, I was lucky enough to run into some great people like Charles Fisher and other people like that in the recording world, and even Robbie Porter, because he started my career.
Robbie G, exactly.
Yeah, so I started off with some very cool musicians, and we had, and the song You, I've got to tell you, that was an accident, because we'd already recorded a whole album, and one of the musicians, his name is Mark Kennedy, an incredible drummer, he was going through a box of vinyls, as you would back in the day, and he said, what's this song, You? And we put it on, and we all liked it so much, and we're still in the studio. They said, you want to record it? We went, yeah. So lo and behold.
Huge hit. Absolute monster, that one, too.
Yes.
What do you do to look after yourself now, Marcia? Because, you know, we've established the fact that we've seen some summers. You had a diabetes scare a while ago. And can you confirm for me, because I believe about 50% of what I see, read and hear these days, Marcia, that you still live with a partially collapsed lung because you're an asthmatic
I was pretty sick. Most of my schooling in America was spent at home. Because as soon as, you know, summer's a great time of the year, but as soon as winter or fall happened and it starts to snow as it used to in Boston, I couldn't go outside. I'd be so sick. So I spent a lot of my life in hospital as a kid, like a lot of my life. And consequently, I had a semi-collapsed lung. So, I mean, I just think, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so, you know, and so they gave me all kinds of therapy, like swimming and running, because to build up my lung capacity. And I think that's what's helped me with my singing.
Yeah, because, I mean, as a singer, you can't hit the notes unless you've got the air. So I would say that it's just astounding that you can hit those notes and still hit the notes now with a diminished lung capacity. So, like
yeah,
you say,
but, I mean, you know, a lot of performers are asthmatics. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's the strangest thing, but I know quite a few performers who are asthmatics and who sing incredibly well.
Amazing. What do you do for fun, Marcia, when you've got some downtime?
I hang with my godchildren. I've got six of them, and they range from like 2 to 50. But and I love animals. I love my partner, and I love making art. I love doing nothing, because I do so much when I'm working. I love doing nothing. I love just hanging and sharing laughs with friends, you know. And my new bestie at the moment is Patty, the one and only Patty Newton.
Yep.
And so she's in Greece too, and we get into so much trouble together. It's fabulous.
So you're the two naughty girls. Would Patty and Marcia please come to my office after the performance?
Again. Please come to my office again, yeah.
But I suppose, you know, when you're out on this tour, and again, I say that it's the Still Shining Anniversary Tour, Friday the 9th of August at the Bunbury Entertainment Centre. Get your tickets or you're going to miss out. You're the boss now. You're the boss of this show, because Marcia Hines is the lady who everyone's coming to see. How does that sit with you?
Nicely, because, you know, like we in life, we lead by example. And I never see any reason to yell at anybody. Because I have great people around me, and I'm aware. And one of the guys who's one of my backing vocalists, he came up through Idol. He came up with, yeah, his name is Chris Luda, you know, and I think he got in the top five or six. And so, and, you know, like, life is relationships, Cliff. Mm. And so, and the other guy that sings with me, he helped me write my album called Amazing. So I sort of like meet people, and, you know, like I keep saying, life is relationships, and we all move along, and we sort of stay with each other for a while, and then you move on. But the boss thing? Nah, I tell you, you know, and it's funny because my favorite thing to do when I go to areas is we go to op shops. And so, you'll see us up there. You'll see us in Bunbury in the op shop somewhere. We go to the op shops and we find something to eat, and we sort of hang out and talk a bit, and, you know. But, you know, look, being on the road, it's not even a case of being difficult. It's just a case of you learn how to do it. You know what I mean? Because you actually learn how to navigate it, and I've got people who do my lights. I've got people who do the sound. I've got someone who's watching the stage just in case one of us fall over and he's got to pick us up. You know, I've got a great sound engineer. But I take care of myself because I've never been a drinker ever in my life. I've never been into drinking, but to each his own. And I'm a pescatarian. I don't eat meat. Haven't eaten meat for about 40 years or so, and I take care. I walk a lot. I like walking.
Well, you're going to find some fantastic walks in Bunbury, I can promise.
Really?
Oh yeah, around the Bunbury Inlet. I'll have to get back in touch and let you know about the restaurants. You've got to go to Vat 2, my favourite place in Bunbury, and I'll tell you where the op shops are as well. So
please,
that'll be pretty cool.
I'm expecting a note, okay?
I can do that. Now, I just want to ask you one other thing too, and this is straight up, I haven't seen any research or anything at all.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Etta James?
Oh, sure.
Gotta be.
Etta James, yeah. You know, I mean, everybody thinks that that song Beyonce sang, At Last, that's Etta.
Yeah, that's hers. But I could hear you singing, I Just Want to Make Love to You, I'd Rather Go Blind.
Oh, I love all that old R&B stuff, you know. Oh. It's sort of R&B and blues mixed, you know. It's pretty cool. But, you know, like, I'm a walking iPod, man. I know so many songs, you know, and there's so many kind of, not so much genres, but I just want to do some funky stuff, you know. I was able to do my gospel album, which was fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, And I want to write. I've been sitting, you know, I write this way. When I write, I actually sit in cafes and listen to people's conversations.
Oh, that's delicious.
Yes, man. And then so you hear some great stuff and I think, oh, let me scribble that down. What did she say about him? Anyway, so, yeah, that's how I write. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrific. I'm really looking forward to the show and I hope that we can catch up somewhere along the
please
line.
Please do. But make sure you do come, please.
It's going to be terrific. Still Shining, the anniversary tour, Friday the 9th of August. And this lady, like, you know, queen of pop and the Hall of Fame. And my God, how much other stuff too. I say to you, Marsha Hines, overachiever. No, well done. Congratulations to you. It's been a magnificent career and I can't wait to see you back on stage again. Thank you for a couple of moments here on Triple M and enjoy.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, man.
Take care. Marsha Hines here on Triple M.